Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Steve Lapis, basketball color commentator, studio analyst for CBS Sports Network, former college basketball coach, most notably at Villanova, with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coach, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We are wonderful. Coach, how did we miss it this year? The most dominant conference in the country, Conference USA. It's not even arguable how dominant they've been this postseason with Florida Atlantic and North Texas now. How did we miss this?
You know, it was a good year for Conference USA. They were a top 10 league this year. So, I mean, it was. We knew during the season that this was one of the better years in Conference USA in a long time. Now, come on, we're all surprised a little bit that Florida Atlantic is where they are. They've done an unbelievable job, no question about it. But Conference USA had a good year, but we didn't expect this.
No, obviously not. They got a nice run, too, because they got Fairleigh Dickinson as opposed to Purdue in that second round, right? And some things have happened, but boy, just talented. Is there an answer? Is it the transfer portal? But look at Texas. Texas was all transfer players, and you know, that's a big university. But why are smaller schools? Why are the San Diego States and the FAUs and teams that normally aren't there, why are they here this year?
You know, a lot of them are there because they're getting older. You know, the COVID year made a difference. These teams are older, which obviously makes them more physical. I mean, you look at this Florida Atlantic team. They're one of the best rebounding teams in the country, and they're number 329 out of 363 teams in average height. Their average height is 6'4", yet they're a great rebounding team. So they are tough, they are physical, but I think a lot of this, the parity in college basketball, has to do with the fact that the mid-major teams and some of the low-major teams have gotten old, whereas the great freshmen, like a Brandon Miller at Alabama, you know, he's going to run up against a guy physical like San Diego State, and it's a big difference that they don't expect.
Well, it really seems like what we've seen is that, you know, the one-and-dones used to be, those teams used to just be very, very powerful, and now we don't have that same power structure. We do have players who, well, we have plenty of one-and-dones, but we have players who are more willing to stay around and then go to the transfer portal, as John mentioned. University of Houston has really benefited.
NIL is going to help that.
Yeah, NIL is going to help it as well. But it seems like the teams that are you look at, Larinaga is a guy who just has been known as a great coach for years. And you look at the coaches now, it seems like the coaching is making such a big impact on this. It's not just about talent. Like it was always about coaching, but talent was going to prevail. Well, the coaching and the team structure is back, and it's back in a big way in college basketball right now, without question.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about it. And you know, what's also happened is you have a number of really good high school players that went to the whatever it's called, that elite G League team. So you look at college basketball this year, and you know, who are the dominant freshmen? You know, the Brandon Miller obviously was one of them at Alabama. But when you look at this tournament, you know, where are the dominant freshmen? You take a look at the big time, Kentucky, they didn't have a dominant freshman. Yes, Cason Wallace was a good player, no doubt about it. But you go down the line here and you look for the great freshmen. You know, Filipowski was a great freshman at Duke. He's gone. You know, you just go down the line and look, and they're all gone. So, and there aren't that many of them, which is the big thing. You know, yeah, Houston had one, Jairus Walker, but you, like I said, you go down the line, these dominant freshmen, like we had Anthony Davidson playing college basketball, whatever it was, 8-10 years ago for Kentucky, that was different. We don't have anybody like that. You take a look at all these teams, and freshmen do not play a role on any of these teams. It's unbelievable.
So how do you see this playing out this weekend, Coach? It wouldn't be surprising if any of these teams come out of this thing, right?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
It wouldn't be surprising if any of these four teams win at all.
No. Each one of these four teams absolutely has a chance. Now, I think UConn is a cut above everyone because they are the one team in this tournament that is really, really good on offense and really, really good on defense. And Miami, really good offense, not great defense. Inside game, a little small. Ochir is a good player, but that could be tough because of Sanogo and Klingon. Then you have San Diego State, really elite defensively, can be sketchy on offense. And then you have FAU, which is really good at both, yet because of the schedule, you know what I mean? You got to take their stats with a grain of salt. Now, they're a great three-point shooting team that hasn't shot it great in the tournament, except the Kansas State game. FAU has not shot the ball well. And they're playing again. So they're going to rely on threes in this game against San Diego State. But San Diego State, one of the best in the country at defending the three. Their opponents are 17 for 94 in the NCAA tournament from the three-point line, 17%. So, you know, each one of these teams has warts, except maybe UConn.
Yeah.
Wow. 17 of 94.
That's ridiculous. How good they are. How do they do that, Coach? How and then yet and still able to rebound the way they are?
Yeah, well, the way they do it is, and what makes them so elite defensively is they can switch everything. They are one of the most versatile defensive teams that I've seen in a long time where, you know, a lot of teams switch one through five, but with them, if their five-man, Mensah or Ladie, ends up on a point guard, it's not a problem. If their guards, who are not that big, but they're tough and physical, end up on a big guy, they'll fight him in the low box. So this team is really good at switching everything. So that, and what does that do? It takes pick and rolls and makes them almost null and void. Yep. So the big problem that FAU is going to face in this game is that they're going to face a team that is so good at switching every screen that their screens aren't going to mean much. And the other thing about FAU, they rely on making a lot of threes in transition. And San Diego State's one of the best transition defensive teams in the country. So when it comes to defense, San Diego State's got it all covered.
Yeah, Jonnell Davis needs to have a big game, too. He is such a – he's a very complete player, an unselfish player, but I think he's going to have to take on a little bit more of the scoring. Last couple games he hasn't had to as much. Other people have stepped up, but he may have to take on a little bigger chunk of the scoring this time around.
Well, I mean, he's leading him in points, rebounds, assists, and steals. He's averaging 17 a game in the tournament. He's been their best player, even though Elijah Martin was probably the best player through the course of the year. So Jonnell Davis has taken over some games. He played great at the second half of the Memphis game. He played unbelievable in the second half of the FDU game. So this is a guy, him and Elijah Martin, I think they have nine guys that they play 16 minutes to 27 minutes. But these are the two guys, they're very balanced, but these are the two guys that have the ability to do a little bit more and a little more special. And I think those two guys both need to step up against San Diego State.
Who's got the best backcourt out of the four teams?
The best backcourt? I'd say probably in total, you're going to have to say Miami.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? With Pack and Wong and Walker, those three guys are averaging pretty near 50 points a game, the three of them in the NCAA tournament. So you have to give the edge when it comes to the perimeter to Miami. But UConn's perimeter is nothing to sneeze at. You know, when you look at, obviously, Jordan Hawkins, he may be the best perimeter player in the tournament, him and Isaiah Wong. So, but the thing about UConn, as I said earlier, is not only do they have one really good center, they got two of them. So for 40 minutes, you're getting Adama Sanogo. And if he's not in, you're getting Donovan Klingon. So you're getting 40 minutes of a fresh, really good five-man for UConn in every game. And that is a difference.
Yeah, yeah. And is Omer enough inside to handle? And by the way, there's a good chance Omer gets in foul trouble again.
Well, yeah, and he's 6'7". I mean, he's a really good player. I mean, let's say that. But, yeah, I mean, he's going to have his hands full. And the thing about it is you really, Yeah, if you want to double to no go, you may double him off of Andre Jackson, but Andre Jackson is really smart. He's also been able to make a three here and there, which he didn't make earlier in the year. So they're going to probably take chances and double Sonogo of Andre Jackson. If they don't, then Omer's going to get in foul trouble.
That's Steve Lapis with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You got UConn coming out of it?
Yeah, I have UConn coming out of it. I'd be surprised if they don't win it. I do think that the UConn-Miami game, whoever wins that game, is going to be the national champion. And Miami, let me say this. Though I think UConn is going to win, Miami can win that game. There's no doubt. You have three explosive guards. These guys get you in. They have been making 20 free throws a game in the NCAA tournament. They get to the foul line. So a big thing for UConn is going to be they got to contain those three guys on the perimeter off the dribble. So that's going to be a real challenge. And, you know, Miami, to me, looks like a team that you should play some zone against. UConn doesn't play much zone. But I wouldn't be surprised they throw a little bit out there because that team off the dribble is really tough.
This is the first time we've seen, I mean, we've got Cinderella-type teams all over the place in this Final Four. We've never seen anything like that. Do you think this could become a little bit more of the norm, or is this going to be an outlier Final Four in terms of, you know, the lack of the blue blood programs or the standard 1-3 seeds? Is this just an outlier, or could we start seeing more of this now?
You know, it's easy to say that this is going to be the trend now, but you look last year we had Kansas, Duke, North Carolina, and Villanova in the Final Four. So I don't want to say it's an outlier because we've seen college basketball have more and more parity over the years. And let's understand this. 12 years ago, we had George Mason. We had VCU. We had Loyola in the last 5 years in the Final Four. So there's always been the potential in the last 10, 12 years for this to happen. 20 years ago when I was coaching, this never happened because the difference is the best players on the best teams were juniors and seniors. That we don't see anymore. And that's why college basketball has tremendous parity now. In those days, imagine if Brandon Miller were a senior. If Brandon Miller were a senior or a junior, he would have played a lot different in this NCAA tournament than he did as a freshman. And that's what we don't have anymore. And that's why these things will continue to happen. Will they happen every year? No. But they are going to continue to happen because the best players in the country are no longer, the most talented players in the country, I should say, are no longer juniors and seniors.
No. But that's been happening for a while, no, Coach? And here's the deal, though. Those guys that were second-rounders might stick around in college because of the NIL money. They actually might make more in college than they will as a second-rounder in the NBA sitting on a bench.
That is true. But what also happens is you have teams that, because a lot of people are relying on the portal, you have some of these mid-majors that are doing a better job of recruiting good high school players and keeping them in their program and developing them because a lot of the big-time schools are going into the portal more. So there's all kinds of ways to balance this out. And you know, some people say, like Charles Barkley said the other day, that the NIL is going to make it so that the bigger teams are going to get better. I don't know about that because I think that what really is going to happen is there is going to be balance because you're still going to have the great players, like the Brandon Miller. He doesn't care about NIL. He's going to the NBA. Gigi Jackson in South Carolina. He doesn't care about the NIL. He's going to the NBA. Filipowski doesn't care. He's going to the NBA. The guys that stay are good players, but they're not the unbelievable talent that some of these other guys are.
That's Steve Lapis, CBS Sports Network, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. At ST Lapis, LAPPAS on Twitter. Coach, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me. Take care, guys.
All right. There is Steve Lapis right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. When we come back, I've got some draft questions for Lance. Okay. 3013 put out its top five at each position. We'll see if Lance agrees or disagrees. Right now, I'm talking about Chastain Ford. I was talking to Justin from Chastain yesterday. They have, right now, on the lot, F-150 Lightnings ready for you. If you, they are on the lot. so you do not have to wait for them. You don't have to order them and sit and wait. They are here. They are now. I love my Lightning. I really, really do. It's my favorite vehicle I've ever had, ever. And the deal that I got from Chastain Ford, we're talking MSRP, people. We're talking about the Lightning at MSRP. If you are thinking about getting the Lightning, I love it. I really, really do. Jose, my buddy, has asked me about it. He's thinking about getting one. He asked me, how do you like it? And I gave him rave reviews. You will too. If you're somebody that likes to tool, if you tool around the city, if you're not going to take long trips with it, it's perfect. I'm telling you. And I'm not going to take long trips with it. I love my vehicle. You will love yours too. They've got the, it's truck month there. 0% financing, no payments for 90 days, nothing down, 0-0-0 going on right now for F-150s on the lot, 2022s and 23s. The Lightning is not included in that, but the other F-150s, which they have on the lot right now as well. So if you're looking for that F-150, be it Lightning or gas or whatever it is you're looking for, you've got it right now at Chastain Ford. You want the best deal that you're going to find on a truck in the city of Houston? There's only one place to go. ChastainFord.com on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. 5 minutes from downtown Chastain Ford.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. If you're not following the 33rd team or you're getting their emails, the scouting department, it is it's really good, really good stuff. Now, yeah, the website, 33rd team. They've got all kinds of great football information by football people.
You know what today is? Today is a Hendon Hooker evaluation by Mike Martz. We've got a conference call where there's only like 30 of us, I think, that are there are 25 to 30 of us. And it's like, it's crazy. It's former coaches. It's former players.
Well, Hendon Hooker has gained a lot of notoriety over the last couple of days because of Mike Tannenbaum.
Yeah,
put out his mock draft, and he had Hendon Hooker going 5 to Seattle.
That was crazy.
It is crazy. It is crazy.
But now, you want to give them the second? You want to give them with their second first-round pick? Well, then maybe we can talk about that. And I could, you know, you're going to lose a rookie season with Hendon Hooker. So the idea is, why not get into the first round if you trade into it, or why not take him in the first round where you get an extra year?
It wasn't like at one point this season, Hendon Hooker was thought to be the best quarterback in college football.
Hendon Hooker was headed on his way to the Heisman. I think Hendon Hooker, had he stayed healthy, would have definitely been the third quarterback off the board.
Yeah. So why, if I'm going to lose a year, and especially if I have somebody that I just signed to a contract, why would I not? It sounds like to me he's the perfect guy for the Packers. It sounds to me he's the perfect guy for the Bucks. It sounds to me like he's the perfect guy for a bunch of teams, if you want to know the truth. Mm-hmm. A guy you've got in place that you can wait for Hendon Hooker for a year and just take, you know, your lumps and wait for Hendon Hooker to heal. And Hendon Hooker had, according to Mike Tannenbaum, the best yards per pass in the country.
Yeah, he had Jalin Hyatt.
Yeah.
Going for big bombs.
Yards per pass, which means that he can throw a good deep ball.
Yeah, but like I said, Jalin is open a lot. I was watching Jalin again yesterday with Theo Ash on a TikTok thing we're doing. And it's like, man, every contested catch he had was when he was underthrown by Hendon Hooker. So I think Hendon Hooker's tape is good, not great. I really liked him in a regular season. Once I got into the tape, there's a few more issues there. But regardless of all, I'm not talking about the evaluation. The idea of Hendon Hooker going in the first round with an ACL tear, it's really nothing more than you buy an extra year and you buy a chance to.
What's the difference of taking him when you got Aaron Rodgers? What's taking Jordan Love when you got Aaron Rodgers?
Right.
No difference.
Well, the thought was,
you know, Jordan Love ain't getting on the field.
The thought is he's going to miss his whole rookie. Like, he's also going to miss some of the install stuff. He's going to miss some of the time on the field in summer.
On the field, but he can actually be in all the meetings.
Yeah, but he's supposedly very sharp, too.
Yeah.
Very sharp, well, and very mature.
But one of the knocks about him is his second and third reads?
Very mature. Yeah, because they don't have to.
Yeah.
So I can't call him a full field reader. He's not. He reads, and he argued.
Because Jalen Hyatt was open.
Yeah, well, he argued, yeah, well, we have concepts where it's you know, it's built into where I see this guy or this guy. Joe Burrow did a lot of that, too.
Yeah.
But Joe Burrow also, I mean, Joe Burrow was such a good decision maker that it was astonishing. You knew, because Joe Burrow a lot of times, pre-snap, they'd see the coverage, and he'd go, okay, I'm going to read this safety right here, and if the safety bites down, I'm going up top. If the safety, as soon as I see him
and his
turn
accuracy,
his hips, I'm coming underneath.
And he's still doing the same thing with the Bengals.
And he's accurate. Yep. I mean, that's his game.
All right, 33rd team.
All right, let's go with some of the top
Here's
five.
Their quarterbacks. Will Levis, one. Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson, Hendon Hooker.
Yeah, I think there's, you know, they're going off of the physical tools. Okay, that's fine.
And, you know, Will Levis' injury maybe plays a role.
So here's something to keep in mind. Will Levis' OC is Liam Cohen. He's his play caller and OC. He was there for his best year in 2021. Liam Cohen was the quarterback coach under Kevin O'Connell when they were both with the Rams, and O'Connell was an offensive coordinator. Kevin O'Connell now is in Minnesota. Minnesota has Kirk Cousins off contract after this next year. The thought is that they're a sneaky team. They don't have a lot of draft capital, though. They don't have a second-round pick. But the thought is Minnesota could be a sneaky team to take a look at Will Levis.
Hmm. Yeah, well,
they'd have to trade up.
You got a placeholder until he's ready.
Yeah.
You got a placeholder for Hendon Hooker until he's ready.
Sure.
Running back, Bijan, Jahmyr Gibbs, Roschon Johnson, which is amazing.
I don't see the Roschon stuff like everyone. Everyone's starting to get hyped on Roschon.
Kendra Miller, Deuce Vaughn.
Yeah, I don't love that at all. Deuce Vaughn, I love Deuce Vaughn, the player, but historically, he's 170-some-odd pounds. Like, show me the running back ever in history. You can't find it. This is the craziest year I've ever seen. For outlier sizes,
mm-hmm.
Deuce Vaughn is literally, he's tough as nails. He's good at catching a ball, at running, but he's so small from a stature standpoint. If you're worried about Bryce Young, this guy's 20 pounds lighter and has multiple big guys trying to tackle him.
Head first into a line of scrimmage.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see the NFL teams. I tried to go look for a running back his size, and I just couldn't find it. Just couldn't find it.
Yep.
But he didn't get hurt in college. So, you know, but either to Bryce, and we're worried about him.
Except the shoulder.
Now the Roschon Johnson thing, I think Roschon was underrated at Texas, but people forget he came in as a quarterback.
Yeah, he's a quarterback.
But I don't see Roschon Johnson that high. Not to me. To me, he's more of a quality RB2.
You think Miller will get drafted before Roschon?
Yeah, I think Kendra Miller will get drafted ahead of him. Zach Evans is one of the most, supposedly Zach's got some character stuff, but Zach Evans, who was at TCU, is now at Ole Miss. He's actually should be even higher.
He's from here, Zach Evans. Uh-huh. Yeah, he's got real, he's had issues for a while.
Has he?
Yeah.
Is he the one?
He was out of North Shore, right?
Oh, I remember. I think my brother told me some stuff.
He's had a lot of issues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that checks out with what I heard.
Quentin Johnston, Jordan Addison, Jalen Hyatt, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and Josh Downs.
I was too low on Jaxon Smith-Njigba. I watched him a lot yesterday, 2021. I may have just had kind of a... The more I watched him, I don't think he's not explosive in terms of his burst and all that stuff, but he is such a smart receiver, so naturally instinctive. I would say Smith-Njigba has to be in your top two now. If I could change my grades, I probably would, but I'm not going to. Josh Downs, one of my favorites in the class. Jalen Hyatt's great for what he is. Deep ball guy.
You're not a big Quentin Johnston guy.
If Quentin Johnston, I don't think he catches. So I like the potential. I think he can become a better route runner. It's just a lot of drops that bother me. I don't think he doesn't like it when he has to work into. He's not as competitive as he needs to be when the ball goes up.
Boy,
and that really
bothers me.
He's got
some moves when he catches it.
He's
sweet.
Good after the catch. He's fast. He can end up being a good. I've got a 6.4, which is a good first round grade. Like could end up being a good starter.
Yeah.
So I've got that grade on him. Jordan Addison to me is just solid, but I'd rather have Zay Flowers or Josh Downs.
All right. tight end, Michael Mayer, Dalton Kincaid, Sam Laporta, Tucker Kraft, Josh Weil. Where is Luke Musgrave?
You know, they're going off probably, he only played two games because he was hurt last year, but I don't know. I don't know why they, I'm not a Sam Laporta guy like some people are, so he's not in my top five. And Luke Schoonmaker should be in there. Musgrave should be in there. I'm going to disagree firmly with those picks. I'm fine with one and two. Don't love 3-4. Josh Wiles actually a pretty decent player, but I wouldn't put him in a top five. This kid, Luke Schoonmaker, from there's going to be five tight ends drafted in the first 50 picks.
Hmm.
So this is a tight end draft.
All right, we'll finish.
Darnell, they don't have Darnell. Darnell's not great on tape from a like his run blocking, his technique's all bad, but then he's so strong that he bullies people all over the place. But it doesn't always look pretty with Darnell Washington, and yet he's going to go in the top 40.
And then he got hurt, too. What was that, ankle or knee? What was it? I think it was an ankle, wasn't it?
When?
In the bowl, in the playoffs.
Did he get hurt against
TCU? Yeah, I think he did. He walked up. Okay. Remember, he was off, going off the field and against TCU.
I might have been done watching it by then.
Maybe.
I mean, was that when it was 38-0 or 46-0?
Whatever it was. Broderick, offensive tackle. Broderick Jones?
Yes.
Paris Johnson? DeJuan Jones, Anton Harrison, and Darnell Wright.
Okay, so they don't have Skoronski.
Well, they got him as guard.
Okay, that's how I have him. Yeah. So Broderick Jones, I say yes. Paris Johnson, yes. Paris Johnson's not getting drafted as high as people think. Everyone keeps putting him ahead of Broderick. Teams don't see it that way either. Who else?
DeJuan Jones.
Yeah, I got Darnell Wright ahead of him.
And Anton Harrison and Darnell Wright.
Yeah, I got Darnell Wright would be third out of that group, and then I would have – and then I got an Anton Harrison and then DeJuan Jones.
All right, quickly, Skoronski, he's the best. Osiris Torrance, McClendon Curtis, Nick Broeker, and Jake Andrews.
Those are interior players?
Those are guards, yeah.
Where do they have Skoronski?
Skoronski, number one.
Oh, okay, guard. Number one. No, I like their one and two. I'm out after that.
The other ones. Center Joe Tippmann. Olusegun Olumwatimi. John Michael Schmitz, Luke Weipler, and Ricky Stromberg, who we know nothing about any of those guys.
Yes, we do. We know a lot about them. Take your number two, slide him all the way to
which
number
one
five.
To the Texans? Which center to the Texans?
Take two. Oh, John Michael Schmitz. Take two.
John Michael Schmitz?
John Michael Schmitz is the perfect center for the Texans.
Really?
Take number two. And now, if you want a middle-round guy, Ricky Stromberg from Arkansas. So take number two, the Michigan guy, move him to five, slide everyone up, and you got a good –
That's
a good,
it. Yeah. Okay.
Although I would take Schmitz ahead of Tippmann, but Tippmann could be the pick also. He's bigger than Schmitz.
All right, when we come back, we'll do a little defense next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, you're talking a little Proximo.
Yeah, so Maestro Dobel is, it's always the winning selection. Maestro Dobel is, from a tequila standpoint, so there's a lot of different types of tequilas. There's a lot of top-end, high-end tequilas, and Maestro Dobel is up there with all of them. And one of the great things is you can find them at a very reasonable price. Now, it is a high-quality product, and they spend, you know, the time that they spend with their Reposado, with their Añejos, with their Añejo Extras, with the Smoked Silver, the Cristalino, they created the variety called Cristalino, where they take three different blends of tequilas, charcoal filter it and age it, and the result is phenomenal. I mean, it tastes unbelievable. It's so smooth. All the Maestro Dobels can be used as a sipping tequila. They can all be used in cocktails. The silver and the smoked silver are great with your margaritas, but man, the Reposado, if you're looking for a little extra kick on one of your cocktails, why don't you just Google Reposada recipes, and you can find a cocktail recipe to blend Maestro Dobel's Reposada in there as well. Maestro Dobel, if you're looking for a high-quality tequila that has the process that you want for a distinct flavor profile, it's Maestro Dobel.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Gulf Coast Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC.
The God. godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Man, if you haven't seen it, there's body cam already released of the officers rushing into the school shooting in Nashville, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, wow. It's, you know, I mean, this isn't Uvalde. They're running into the school. But the communication, you can hear the communication and how they go about it. You should look that video up. It's pretty intense. But, yeah, it shows how quickly they got in, how quickly they responded, how they do it, working as a group. Although one guy was like pushing this other guy ahead of him. The one who was given the command seemed to be pushing people ahead of him. I was like, oh.
That's a good move.
Here you go.
That would be my move.
Yeah.
Here.
Go. But
go.
Somebody
has got to give the orders, Lance.
All right, right. But like I always wondered, the guys who are doing whenever you see war stuff,
yeah,
not just Battle of the Bastards, but real war, you know, the Civil War. And you have the guys who are on the horses who are like, were they off limits? You weren't supposed to shoot the Ulysses S. Grants and were you the Stonewall Jacksons? Were they considered off limits? Was that the rules that, okay, let's not shoot the commanders who just have the swords? Or, because I would think one of them would just get right away.
Taking your king or your queen in chess.
Yeah, the guy who's the commander, but they always seem to like.
I'd go
make
right
it
after
through.
Him first.
Yeah, they always seem to make it through.
I don't think that there's a gentleman's agreement.
You did.
Ulysses S. Grant doesn't get hit.
Well, I mean, he made it out.
Yeah,
he was.
Maybe he stayed behind a little bit.
That's what I'm wondering. Go, guys, go!
It's like
John. I just know that John Snow.
Oh, John Snow
was out there in the middle of everything. Now he was.
Everybody passed him by. Don't forget.
Now he was a fictional character. But when he was out there, I think it could be based on history, but back when there were dragons. But Jon Snow was out there in the middle of everything.
Yeah.
Now, luckily, his guys were also charging forward, too. Ramsay Bolton, he kind of...
He mixed it up?
Yeah, Ramsay Bolton would mix it up.
He also shot people from, with an arrow from...
I don't think Joffrey, if he had made it, I don't think Joffrey would have been out in the front. Joffrey would have been in
Joffrey
the back.
Joffrey wasn't out in front when in the war on the wall.
No. Oh, no. Joffrey wasn't any of that. Joffrey
the little guy was actually a hero.
Yeah, Tyrion.
Yeah, Tyrion, little fella.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Not a little fella.
That's the Battle of Blackwater.
Yeah, the Battle of Blackwater. Yeah. Your history.
Yeah, no, I know my. It's from a historical standpoint.
Yeah.
You go, but you have to know the timeline of it. Like Ulysses S. Grant. But. Way before
Gettysburg,
Gettysburg, but you got to go back to Blackwater.
Battle of the Bastards.
Battle of the Bastards. It goes
right.
Battle of the working backwards. Battle of the Bastards. The Red Wedding, which is not a
battle.
And then that was a siege,
mass murder.
And then that was, and then you have to go all the way back to Battle of Blackwater from a historical standpoint. And then you go back, and then it's
further. Yeah,
I think Jesus predates that.
Yeah, I don't think Jesus was in any battles.
Oh, no. Jesus actually is forward.
No. Yeah. No.
Because that was the time of dragons.
There were the Crusades. That was forward, actually.
Yeah. Okay.
There were no dragons then, remember?
No. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Sometime between, Gettysburg, Jesus, Battle of Blackwater.
Right.
Yeah.
Jesus wasn't really in any battles, but okay.
No, but I'm just saying from a timeline of historical timeline.
Right.
The dragon stuff happened years. Just
way back,
thousands of years
ago.
That's all you guys would not remember that. I remember it. We were taught
that. Well, you studied ancient history, right?
Yeah, if you study ancient history, the Terracotta Warriors.
Right.
You ever heard of the Terracotta Warriors?
Yeah.
Right. And you go back further than that, you get all the way to Battle of Bastards.
Yeah. Where would the Aztecs have fit in there?
Aztecs were actually just after the Mayans, the Incas, the Aztecs were after after.
Goes.
The one where the Giants stepped on that girl when Ramsay Bolton finally got killed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where does Middle Earth fit in with,
the
Lord of the Rings?
God, Middle Earth, it's so hard to place it. I think from what I remember from history class, I think Middle Earth was actually right after the time of, Yeah.
Yeah.
What was first?
Which was first, Battle of Blackwater or the Two Kings, the Battle of the...
Actually, Two Kings was before that.
Middle Earth was before that.
Because dragons came after Middle Earth.
Well, they had dragons there, too.
Yeah. Well, we didn't. They also had Shadowfax.
The Ringwraith. Yeah, they had that.
Yeah, we had a horse.
Yeah, Shadowfax that flew. Right.
Yeah, so it was, yeah.
Historically speaking,
people get confused sometimes on when different events happen. And, of course, Trump and Biden, that was 2020.
Yeah.
And then looks like maybe 2024 again. It was just a battle that we could, speaking of the battle of the aged, it's like, you know what? We should do this again. Let's run it back. Biden and Trump, #run it back.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like. They're gonna, who's got next? I've got next. I'm next up. I've got the court next. My five is here.
Hey, co-host Raul, our good friend, just texted us. The trophy is going to be at Cobos Q from 6:30 to 7:30.
Oh, yeah,
today.
It's the 29th.
Today's the 29th.
Yeah, Astros trophy is going to be there. Yeah. Shout out Raul for that's a really cool thing
so
for him.
So Biggio's from 2 to 3, then Specs from 5 to 6. On Smith, Specs on Smith, then Cobos Q from 6:30 to 7:30, and then Pitch 25 from 8 to 9. So if you want to go see our good friend Raul and see the trophy, there you go. There you have it. 8:43, we will do the defense on the other side. But first, we got the Morley Law Firm to talk about. We got issues, people. We got issues. I don't know what your issue you have. I don't know if somebody has wronged you or you have wronged someone else or you're criminally investigated or you have had an accident. That's terrible. If you're getting a divorce, that's terrible as well. There's custody issues. There's alimony possibilities. There's, child support. No alimony here, I don't believe, but child support. You have all kinds of things that you need a lawyer for. You can't handle it yourself. If you try to handle it yourself, the lawyer that defends himself has a fool for a client, right? And if you try to defend you're even dumber than a lawyer who tries to defend himself. Yeah, because you're not as smart as a lawyer. So don't try to do this yourself. Don't try to go into the police station and handle this yourself. You need a lawyer. Lawyer up, because you can. It's legal. It's what you should do. And if you're looking for the best way to get that lawyer, if you're looking for the lawyer that is going to give you that time, experience, that's going to give you the attention that you deserve, the representation that you deserve, you got to go to the Morley Law Firm. Make the call, Morley Law, 713-839-9955. If you have immigration issues, say habla español. And this is a law firm that actually handles immigration, and a lot of law firms don't. 713-839-9955 or MorleyLaw.com.
We'll take a short break. Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome. That will never not be funny. Time to talk about defenses. And the 33rd team has their top five players at each position. We did offense. Let's do defense. Jalen Carter is the best tackle. Then Brian Breesy, Keanu Benton, Byron Young, Tuli Tuipulotu.
Wait, go do the top five again. Start again.
Jalen Carter, Brian Breesy, Keanu Benton, Byron Young, Tuli Tuipulotu.
So what do they have that position as?
Defensive tackle.
Tuli is 268 pounds. No. Are they even doing any work at all in that 33rd team?
I don't know.
That's literally, he's a 3-4 outside linebacker now.
Oh.
He's 268 pounds.
Nice. Well,
that's... Or defensive end. He's not a defensive tackle.
Well, apparently.
He was listed on their website as being 290 pounds, and he was never even played at that weight. I don't know what happened.
So who is the defensive tackle from Pitt that they're comparing to Aaron Donald?
And it, well, probably should be compared to Ed Oliver.
Yeah.
Probably don't want to compare people to Aaron Donald.
Right. But
they made that mistake with Ed Oliver could be the next. No, he's not.
Same and school.
He's the same way. So Kalijah Kancey is the most explosive short area guy that I've seen, probably more so than Ed Oliver. He is incredibly disruptive, very quick off the snap. And the problem is he's 280, 285 pounds, which is what Ed Oliver was. Ed Oliver was drafted top 10. And this guy had the same stats as Ed. Now, the difference is I think Ed may be a little bit stronger, although Kalijah Kansi is pretty strong. But Ed had longer arms, like 32 and a half, I think, and Kalijah Kansi is under 31. But Kalijah Kansi is unbelievably quick. He just wrecks people. As a pass rusher, so when they catch him, you know, they can drill him out of the hole. But he is – it's going to be really interesting to see where he gets drafted because you probably don't want to play him on first down all the time. But once it gets to, like, second and eight, here he comes. And now you got these guards who aren't as quick as him or centers, and they're going to have to deal with this guy. I think he's a really talented player. Is he in there?
He's not in there.
They left him out?
Yeah.
See, they put Tuli Tuipulotu fifth, and he's 268 pounds. But they leave out Kalijah Kansi. That's pretty wild.
No, I had been reading about Kalijah Kansi, and I was like,
no, he is, could be. Man, he is
he's
really
real.
Good.
All right, outside, defensive end, edge rushers, Will Anderson, Tyree Wilson, Miles Murphy, Lucas Van Ness, Byron Young.
Yeah, I don't have a – that's not bad.
That's a nice one.
That's not bad.
Okay, linebackers, Trenton Simpson, Noah Sewell, Henry Tuitou, DeMarvion Overshown, and Owen Papo.
Yeah, they're not even trying.
Ooh, you got a linebacker.
I mean, Drew Sanders should be one. Trenton Simpson probably two. Noah Sewell should be back way further. It's a bad year. I think it's the worst position you could possibly draft this year. Owen Papo tested well, but his tape's bad. But he's a great tester. Trenton Simpson's fast, but has no instincts. Who is our third linebacker?
Overshown. Oh, no. Tuitou.
Yeah.
And Overshown.
More like a fourth rounder from Alabama. And Overshown has some blitz potential. I kind of like Overshown in a top five. Trenton Simpson, top five, and then that's it. I don't know about the rest of them. Drew Sanders from Arkansas should absolutely be there.
Corners, Christian Gonzalez, Emmanuel Forbes, Devin Witherspoon, Joey Porter Jr., and Keely Ringo.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Forbes is like 168 pounds and 6'1". This is another year where it's Tank Dell, Deuce Vaughn, Bryce Young, Emmanuel Forbes, all these different positions, Kalijah Kansi, massive outliers. We've never seen anything like this in a single draft year. Kalijah Kansi, 280-pound defensive tackle. Bryce Young, sub-200-pound quarterback in reality. Deuce Vaughn, 174-pound running back, like or 177 pounds. Emmanuel Forbes, tall string bean of a corner. I like him, though. Emmanuel Forbes is good. Witherspoon, I'd probably make two. I have three as Porter for me. And then teams like, I think Witherspoon and Gonzalez, it's going to be a good battle. When you guys have your draft props and you get them on your little sites or whatever, first cornerback off the board is going to be a good battle between those two.
Really? You don't think Gonzalez is going to be the first one?
Well, I have him first, but there's teams like Witherspoon better.
Really?
And who have, yeah.
Well, that
and
happens, have though. Corner happens where teams like.
It depends on your scheme.
Yeah.
It depends on your scheme. Witherspoon's tape is better. Gonzalez just has rare athletic talent. So I've got a really high grade on. I've actually done pretty good on some of my cornerbacks. I had a really high grade on Pat Surtain, like really high, top four player in the draft. I'm going to feel good about that. Way ahead of those bummy quarterbacks who've all flamed out.
Safety, Brian Branch, Jamie Robinson, Sidney Brown, Antonio Johnson, and Jair Brown.
Safety. Give them to me again.
Branch.
Yeah.
Jamie Robinson.
Yep.
Sidney Brown, Antonio Johnson from A&M, Jair Brown.
So I have Antonio Johnson second. Branch first, but he's really more of almost a corner now, slot corner. But I would say Branch first is safety. That's how I have it. Antonio Johnson, I would say second.
If the Texans took Branch at 13?
Super dope.
Yeah?
Well, that's a little high maybe because he didn't test great. He tested okay. He's a smart football player. I would like it. Your team just got better, and they're good against the run, too, with Jalen Petrie. Like, I wouldn't – it would be high, but he's a good football player.
Well,
it'd be a little bit high.
Corner, too, that would be
– Yeah, I mean, you're a starter. You're on the field most of the time. You could play safety. I mean, I don't know how you'd handle that with he and – although he's physical. I don't think they would draft
Petrie, Ward, and him?
I don't think they would draft him at 12. But you said
12, not 13.
Yeah, but you have one. So you had him one. Antonio Johnson where?
Antonio Johnson's fourth.
I got him two. Who did you have two?
Jamie Robinson.
Yeah, his testing stunk. I think he's
Sidney
go
Brown
back.
And Jair Brown.
I like Jair Brown a lot, but he ran way slower than expected. But I think Jair Brown is going to end up being a good football player. It's not a great year for safeties either, by the way. Sidney Brown is all right. He looked good, but I just think you're kind of limited with him. He's twin brothers with Chase Brown, the running back from Illinois. They're from Canadian twins. How about that? Both with about 5% body fat.
I've never heard
just
of Canadian
up.
Twins. Is that
it's
like
the first set of twins
Siamese
from,
or?
No, it's the first set of Canadian twins that we've ever seen.
I don't know what that means.
A Canadian twin is not like a, you know, like a Minnesota nipple twister, or it's not like that. Canadian twins means twins from Canada. It's not a euphemism.
Oh,
like I gave her the old Canadian twins. Like, what'd you do?
She got a nice Canadian twins there.
Well, how about this? Have you ever done a Canadian? Have you ever been part of the Canadian twins? What?
What?
No, it just means they're twins from Canada.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's not really, like I said, it's not a euphemism for anything.
I got you. No, okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah, it makes more sense.
Apparently, teams now are going to be eligible to play two Thursday night football.
Oh, thank God. Finally.
So
finally, we get two for each team.
Flex scheduling on Thursday night. How about you got a Sunday game and all of a sudden they flex it to Thursday? What about all the people with all those tickets that are coming in for the weekend? Listen, the away teams, the Bears are traveling to Green Bay, or the Bears are traveling down here. Well, I want to go down to Houston and see the Bears play on Sunday. I made my ticket reservations. I got my tickets. I got
Why
my hotel.
Why are you stressing me out?
And now they flex it to Thursday?
Now you're stressing me out.
No, honestly.
That is going to put the kibosh on people who want to do stuff in advance. Oh, no, you know, we'll just make our plans 1 week in advance because that's when flights are cheapest. Said nobody ever in the history of the world.
Ever. I mean, that's terrible. That's not I don't know, NFL. Talk about greedy. Holy crap. They want to make these Thursday night games better. But first of all, subjecting teams to playing Thursday night games, two multiple Thursday night games, sucks. It's more harmful to the player. And actually, John Mara was like, this is abusive. He actually used the word abusive.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, John Mara.
Aren't you one of the owners?
Yeah.
Don't you have any say-so here? Aren't you and your friends who are owners?
And don't you think the owners would have been happy yesterday when they found out that the Washington Commanders are worth $6 billion? Don't you think that was a big day for all the owners?
And they're getting ready to get rid of him? That would be great. John Mayer is basically saying that...
No, they don't want to get rid of Daniel Snyder. He loses. He loses all the time. He's a great owner. That's why they don't want to get rid of Cal. We don't have to worry about him. We don't have to worry about those Texans winning anything.
Yeah. No, that's, I guess, when you're in a division especially, you don't care. But to John Mara's point about the Thursday night games, you know, basically he's just saying about Roger Goodell.
She's the queen, and we're the sorry people.
That's an actual quote. That was John Mara yesterday at the owners. Yep. He said that he believes that Roger Goodell thinks he's the king, and he's the sorry people.
Well, all right.
That was Jerry Jones.
That was not the only rule change. Players now going to be able to wear zero.
Oh, the fight for this is going to be incredible.
Nate,
see if you can predict one correct. Is there going to be a number zero for
the Houston Texans?
Yeah.
It was probably.
I love the college idea. Like, whoever your defensive captain, I know it's such a college thing, but I just love the idea when those colleges where certain teams have certain numbers that mean a lot to them. Like, I know it's because the numbers are, once you get to the pros, your numbers are
LSU. Number.
Yeah, the Jacob Hester thing. But I love that Temple has Temple Tough. If you're single digits, you're one of the toughest guys on the team. I love that.
Well, that's
kind of
why
stuff.
They did the zero, because there's not enough single digits. Our guys want single digits so
badly. They all do, but that's just, you know.
Right.
But I would love if it's like whoever your defensive captain is to wear number zero. Like, it'd be cool if the Texans have no real great history. We started in 2002. It'd be cool if the number zero, for example, meant something on
if,
the team.
If Andre wore it.
Yeah.
I think somebody great has to wear it.
Well, moving forward, if it means that this is the guy who, you know, the number zero is the guy who is the toughest linebacker, or I don't know.
Special teams guy.
Yeah, maybe special teams guy. Yeah, maybe it's just the best special teams player. It's specifically for...
It's the John Weeks Award.
Yeah, felt like a 12th man. You know who I don't want wearing zero? Somebody who's one of the sorry people. I don't need that at all.
And we're the sorry people.
9 o'clock, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. A little insurance is what we need to talk about now.
So insurance from TGS Insurance is that what they're doing is it's specifically homeowners insurance. They are not the homeowner insurance company. What they are is the company who aggregates all the A-rated insurance companies. And then they are able to take, you text the word money to 232323. They get your address. But what they do is they very quickly, with their algorithm, put your address into the algorithm, and it immediately shops all these A-rated companies. A-rated insurance, not cut-rate insurance, A-rated insurance. And many of them are providers, actually underwriters for some of the big companies. And they give you a rate. And so when you get that rate, you know exactly what you are dealing with in terms of, you know, what you're going to be paying for your homeowner's insurance. And what you're going to find is a competitive rate is going to beat a rate that you continue to have year after year after year with the same company. That thing only goes up. It doesn't go down. And we're talking about coming down with TGS Insurance because it's a competitive rate. Make sure you text the word money to 232323. That is TGS Insurance.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.